Welcome to the third season of the Great Indian Marketing Show, the show that's so irresistible, even the creators of the Great Indian Couple Show on Netflix might have borrowed a leaf from our playbook. Here at the Great Indian Marketing Show, we bring you the creme de la creme of B2B marketers from India and beyond. Last season, we delved into the genius minds behind brands like Salesforce, Twitter, and Disney Plus Hotstar. This season, we're cranking up the heat. Not only will we feature some swashbuckling CMOs, but we're also sprinkling in a dash of Gen AI magic. Swadanusar, of course. Get ready to laugh, get ready to learn, and level up your marketing game. And with that, let's dive into the first episode. The Great Indian Marketing Show. Hello everyone, this is Adil Bandukwala, and today we've got a truly special guest joining us. He's the CMO and Head of Sales Op and Digital Sales Group at Airtel Business. Kaustubh Chandra, or Casey, as we like to call him. But before we dive in, I've got a surprise co-host today. My AI assistant, which we are fondly calling KPI, is here to give a stellar introduction. Take it away, KPI.
Thanks, Adil, for introing me. Hello, Casey, and hello, everyone. I'm very pleased to be here. Casey is a seasoned B2B tech marketing pro with over 20 years of experience. His true passion lies in building powerful brands and driving revenue. As the CMO and head of sales ops at Airtel Business, he's a master at aligning marketing and sales, a task that requires the finesse of a tightrope walker. Casey has previously worked with global leaders like NTT Limited and IBM, and I'm sure he'll bring a wealth of knowledge and insights.
Let's not also forget that Casey is known for something special. He's known for throwing legendary parties. I've had the distinct pleasure of hanging out with him for a couple of times, and trust me, Casey knows how to deliver not just a party, but an incredible vibe. Casey, let's dive into the magic. How are you doing today? Are we good to get started?
Hi, Adil. First of all, I have to say, I really like KPI. I mean, I think that's one of the best intros which I've seen of me happening. So thanks to KPI and thanks to you for having me. I'm looking forward to this session with you.
So again, very grateful to you. Again, super generous of you with your time. So thank you. With that, let's dive into our first segment. Our first segment is called Marketing Play and Industry Insights on Airtel Business. Kethi, Airtel Business caters to both large enterprises like Havells and Hero, as well as many, many SMBs. The world, lots of students of marketing who are literally students in universities, or potentially people like us who are studying broad-based enterprise marketing plays of giants like Airtel Business. We'd love to understand, how do your marketing strategies and channels differ when targeting these various customer segments? It's a complicated world out there, but you guys seem to be doing it with precision. What's the magic?
Great question to start with, Adil. I think, I'll just take a step back, right? Since you mentioned complexity, right? So Airtel Business, I think I'm just going to quickly deep dive into what Airtel Business is all about. So we are the B2B arm of Airtel Group, Bharti Airtel Group. We cater to five different segments. And one, global, which is any organization sitting outside India wants to come to India or using our connectivity, submarine connectivity solutions across the globe. That's global segment. Followed by that, we have domestic. Domestic segment is further divided into four parts. One is the large enterprises, the names which you just said, and many more, across BFSI, manufacturing, distribution, media and services, and then large IT, ITS players. That falls in my enterprise segment. Followed by that, we have the government and the PSU, because that needs a separate focus altogether, and the buying behaviors, again, are very different, and the way of dealing with that segment is very different, right? So that is my third segment and part of domestic, which is. Then I have the long tail, which is the SMB. We have a million odd customers in this segment and which we cater to. And SMB segment is the fastest growing segment in the country, right? Post pandemic, the growth has been phenomenal in this segment. And the last one, which we just came about with, 1.5 years back, was we carved out a segment called, which is, we call it mid-market, but this is more like commercial segment or, from an external point of view, that's how everyone calls it. Now, this segment is again one of the highest growth segment for us, because The fact of the matter is that this segment gets lost between an enterprise and a SMB, right? Either organization are focusing on the large enterprise or they're focusing on the SMB. This middle layer is a segment which has not been given its right focus. And that's what we have carved out as a separate focus altogether. So with that, when you have 7 or 8 different business units within the, you know, from a portfolio standpoint, which clearly means that as Airtel Business today, given my portfolio, I literally go and talk to across C-suite, whether it's a CEO, a CIO, a CTO, a chief procurement officer, a chief marketing officer, a CISO, right? All of that, given the kind of, you know, the portfolio, diverse portfolio I have. What do we have? And, you know, just to quickly give you some sense there. Connectivity is our bread and butter. It's always been, but which we call core business. And then there is the new age digital services business, which we have added in last 4-5 years, which comprise of CPaaS, which is a communication platform as a service. We are one of the largest players. So anything to do with customer engagement, omni-channel, multi-channel, communicating and engaging with clients, whether it's pre-sales or post-sales and all of that, that's how we help a lot of our customers on that. Then comes IoT. We are the largest number one player in the country with 58.4% market share. That's again one of the fastest growing practice for us. Followed by that, then there is a security. Then followed by, we have a separate entity called Nextra, which is focusing on data center. Again, we are one of the top 3 players in the country. And then comes the cloud. So now think about these 6-7 portfolios, right? And each of them have different kind of solutions for different kind of segment, for different kind of, you know, organizations out there. And the moment you get into industries, it again gets further this thing. And how do we do it? I think one is at a GTM strategy level, we are very clear about, you know, when it comes to carving out each of these segments and how we work with each of these segments and different personas. We have approximately 2,000 plus odd key account managers on the ground, right? This is by far one of the biggest and the largest GTM strength or sales organization any company has, right? Which clearly brings out one key thing, that how much focus we have on each of these segments, because each one of these segments have been extremely important and been growing, exponentially in last, especially in last 2 to 3 years post pandemic. Now, when I talk about enterprise, and like I said, because of the portfolio, I can go, you know, I go and interact with multiple personas in the organization. But for us, everything really starts with customer problem, because the core of Airtel has always been customer obsession, right? Customer centricity. I think that is one thing which, I mean, I have heard a lot of brands talking about it, but very few who really walk the talk, right? Walk that path. And for us, everything starts there. I may be having, you know, 20, 30, 50 odd products in my entire portfolios, multiple portfolios. But ultimately, what are we solving? We're not selling products. We are selling a solution to a problem which a customer is facing, right? So for us, everything really starts with a customer-backed, industry-out, solution-led approach is what we started, you know, going out with quite aggressively in the marketplace. And I think that is really reflective of the way we approach, whether you go to our website, you look at our social media, you look at the kind of communication we are doing, and for every segment, the communication will be different. Within the segment, for every personas, the communication has to be different. So yes, it is complex, but it is absolutely interesting. And the moment we start thinking about a customer problem, so let's say a manufacturing organization is facing, a CIO is facing a problem of connecting multiple factories and have a seamless, experience for their employees. How do you do that? Right? Now that is the problem which he's facing. Now we can always... So that is one way of, you know, starting a conversation vis-a-vis saying that I have an SD-WAN solution, Mr. Customer, do you want to buy it? But is this an interest of you, for you, right? And that's how it all changes. So the moment one starts with a customer problem, and then it all falls in its place. And then it's not about selling a product or selling a particular, you know, key offering, which, you know, for that quarter, which is going to get you better profits. It is all about solving a customer problem. And then everything else really flows in. From a communication standpoint, this again is something which is, are we 100% there? No, we are not. We have been learning. And I think, and that's where the fun comes in, right? Airtel has always, you know, as an organization, has always believed in, you know, experimenting fast, failing fast, learning from it, correcting it, and then again, you know, go all out, extremely fast. So the agility which this organization really believes in, and also the kind of ownership this organization gives it to the people, right, to the last person on the ground, is phenomenal. And that just makes our work much easier, right, and much more interesting, because I don't have to look at multiple people for approvals and, okay, all of that. It's about if we have a solution which can solve a particular problem, then we just go all out and see how do we really craft that from a GTM standpoint, and the way we have built the whole sales organization and then the whole digital sales group which we have built, all of the entire machinery really comes together and then, you know, moves out in the market. So that's what we do. And I think the other thing which I also want to talk about is, I think the way, the biggest support which I get is from the business, the sales organization. So for in Airtel, the sales and marketing is actually, it's the same side of the coin, right? It is literally joined at the hip, right? So there is nothing like, this is what marketing is saying, this is what sales is saying. These two teams, along with the product and the solutioning team, this is one GTM, and we call it GTM. We don't segregate or differentiate between this is sales organization or this is marketing. So we fortunately, you know, we've been fortunate that I don't have to fight with the sales organization in terms of, I have given you so many leads, what have you done? I don't need to ask them, because it's my job, it's my team's job to make sure, work with the business teams on the ground so that we have a seamless movement of the risk from, and conversions are from response to a lead, to an opportunity in the system, and then ultimately a closure, whether it's a win or loss, we ultimately capture it, learn from it, and that's how we do it. Sorry, a very long answer to a small question, but I hope I was able to give you some sense.
Yeah, that was great. And we should take as long as we need, because that's what this podcast is for, right? You reminded me of someone when you were explaining all of that, and in great detail. You reminded me of a gentleman called Jeff Weiner. He used to be the CEO of LinkedIn. And you reminded me because when I used to work there around 2013, somebody asked him, how do you hire people? So he said, look for three things. People that, one, think big. Two, get shit done. And three, know how to have fun. And you described your organization exactly as that. You said you start from the customer problem, not saying that, okay, I've got this network infra that's going to solve your, you know, that I have to sell, and are you interested in buying because you're opening up a new shop? You said, what's your problem? So you're thinking at the customer level at 30,000 feet, what's really important to that buying committee, steering committee, the CXO level. Then we don't want to think too much. We want to execute. We want to prioritize shipping. And that is so, so important. So getting shit done. And then I know you like to have fun, because we've jammed a couple of times together. So I think that's like a fantastic framework, Casey. I think like that's off to a great start.
Two more things, you know, and because you mentioned it, and I just felt that, you know, I have to say this. You know, two things which I personally, apart from these things, right, these three things which you just talked about, I look for, you know, look for when I'm hiring people. For me, there are only two things which are super important. Intent, right? If you have high intent, you will learn everything. And the kind of hunger you have. Are you hungry enough? Everything else, you know, you can teach people everything. You can make people learn about your portfolio, about your business, about how numbers work, about anything and everything. But you cannot teach anybody how to have high intent and how to be hungry. And that's why, for me personally, these two things, these are the only two things which, on the basis of which I hire. And fortunately, it has worked for me, at least.
I think 100% agree, Casey. I think intent, high agency, like these are so important, because if you have great intent and hunger, like you said, right, you can climb mountains and you can break down walls. So totally agree with you on that philosophy. Other than these two, is there anything else that matters to you when hiring your team, or when you've hired in the past, when you're hiring these two? These are like top of the pyramid you look for. Is there something else too that you think you should keep in mind? I'll tell you where I'm coming from. And you reminded me again of a great analogy. I relate to sports a lot. And you reminded me of now the flavor of the season is the T20 World Cup, which is just happening. And one of the players, a couple of the players that are selected and hopefully will make an impressive showing are Sky, Sanju Samson, and Rishabh Pant. There's one thing common to two of these three people. When they made their T20 debuts, the very first ball that they faced, Sky was facing a fast pacer, and it came on to him on the pads. He flicked it behind for six, the first ball that he was ever facing in any T20.
Yeah.
Sanju Samson comes down the track to a spinner on his very first ball and tonks it straight over, straight six. Right? I'm like, where is the guts coming from? What if you get out? But like you said, intent and hunger. And today, they're taking the world by storm. Sanju is a captain. Rishabh is a captain of the IPL teams. And then, you know, Sky is like arguably one of the, arguably the most prolific T20 batter the world has ever seen. So totally agree with that. But my question to you is, one, does that analogy relate? Two, are there one or two things that we should also look at? This would be great advice for people who are looking.
I'm really enjoying this conversation right now. By the way, you know, cricket is something which I have played for the longest time at a slightly, you know, at a state level. So I've been a very, very hardcore cricketing.
This is new insight. I didn't know this.
Yeah. So, and I've always been a very, you know, I think I have played pretty much all, you know, every sport than really focusing too much on studies. I'm sorry, my father might not like this, you know, what I'm saying, because, you know, that's what he always felt. But I think sports teaches you a lot, right? And I think, you know, when you're talking about this whole, you know, this whole piece, it just took me back that, okay, some of these things I've also learned over a period of time, and especially because of playing so many sports and playing, you know, playing it extensively, that teaches you a lot, right? The sports, first is the sportsmanship. What is it all about? Fearlessness. You have to be fearless, right? And that's, again, you know, something which I always tell people that, you know, tell my team and tell myself that your conversation with, you know, with anybody should not start by thinking about what level the other person is at. Rather than it has to happen as a, you know, as a person. And it again starts with what you want to talk to that person about, and you need to be very clear about what you have to, you know, what's your point of view, what's your, and the questions you have, and so on and so forth. Now, coming back to your question that what else I look at, you know, for me, like I said, you know, nothing else really matters. If I find, at the end of the day, when you're hiring, right, it is a feeling, right? It is a gut, right? And I think most of the time, I always go with my gut, my first feeling. Whenever I try to, you know, bring in more, you know, start overthinking about my first feeling, which is my first, you know, the gut feeling, I tend to personally, and that has worked, you know, that is exactly how it happened with me. I always seen that things start going down south. And while talking to people, interviewing people, you will know that how much, you know, what kind of fearlessness this person has. But fearless doesn't mean that, you know, you just go out and you start, you know, doing everything which you're not supposed to do. But fearless in your thinking, right? When you're approaching anything, fearless in terms of not, you know, not getting bogged down before asking questions. Fearless when it comes to about believing in yourself and believing in what you think is right for the organization, right? I think some of those things really, really play a very important role. And in an interview of 30 minutes or 45 minutes and multiple people talking to that person, these are the few things which I try to, you know, gauge. At the end of the day, it's a feel, you know, it's a feeling, it's a gut feeling, and you have to go with it. So yeah, I mean, you know, that's something else which I really look at. What I've experienced in last 3 years, especially in, you know, in Airtel, I feel really lucky to to get this opportunity 3 years back, because the kind of ownership feeling I get or I have, right, is next to none, is second to none, absolutely. And that for me, I feel, and not just for me, for my teams also, because that's how the DNA, that's the DNA of the organization, right? So which just makes you go all out and do the best possible, you know, things in your capacity. And there are times when you don't even know, you have literally moved the whole bar to a different level, and you end up, you know, doing things which you never thought that you'll be able to do, right? But that also comes from the kind of culture you have in the organization. And then it's also up to the leaders how we take those, you know, that culture, which is the core of the organization, and make sure that it goes further, to every person in the, you know, in the team.
Casey, you're dropping some serious truth bombs today. And that's so refreshing, because in a world where everybody and their uncle today is just talking about data and we should look at this, and based on this data and this pattern, we should make a decision. Here's someone who's coming, who's been there, done that, who's saying, listen to that voice that's inside of you. That voice is important. That voice is saying something. Listen to it. And there's your answer. And that's your gut. The second thing that you're also saying is the level playing field has changed. Right? Earlier, it used to be different. You had to be cautious. But hey, what's stopping you from being fearless? Because if you do that, that is how the world is functioning. I mean, the operating system itself of how we do business has changed. So this is so refreshing and fantastic to share. Fantastic to hear. So thank you, Casey. I'll move on to our next segment, Casey. One of the things that, you know, I've realized after meeting you and stalking you on your LinkedIn as well, is you say marketing, when done right, has the power to move mountains. Curious to understand, right? Where did this come from? Why is this on your LinkedIn profile? How did you think about this? And for people listening to the podcast, how can marketing as a function drive and cultivate organizational culture? When you and me were talking last time, you said that the number one goal of marketing today is to cultivate and drive organization culture. How can people go about bringing various functions together to align on a common brand vision? How does one actually do that? Let's talk about that a little bit.
So what I meant by that, Adil, is, and you know, to be able to explain this, I'll just go back in time, right? When in my first job after my MBA, for the longest time, marketing, there was no differentiation between sales and marketing. Everyone who was doing sales used to say that, okay, I'm doing marketing, but they were doing sales. And marketing as such has always been looked upon as another support function. And I'm talking about 2003, 2004, 5, right? What was marketing used for at that point in time, especially when it comes to B2B partners? Doing customer events and with no science backing it up, making PPTs, making gifts, right? So these were the things which we, you know, which marketing was supposed to do. But when I started my journey, I just realized quite early that, you know, without even doing much, I can always be a support function. I can always behave like that, right? For the longest time, I've heard everyone, you know, a lot of marketers still, I interact with a lot of marketers who still feel that, you know, revenue marketing is not marketing job, that's sales job, right? Brand is what we should do. You know, brand building is a, you know, is a given. That's not our job. The KPI is not to build brand. That is given as a marketer. And in B2B, as you know, that it's all, brand building will always be a slow burner, because that's the nature of the business, especially when it comes to tech, right? Now, when marketing is done right, it can move mountains. What I really meant by that is that we as marketers, we are at such a strategic place in the organization. This is the only, this is one function apart from HR, I would say, who literally interacts with every different functions and every people in, you know, who touches every single person in the organization, either through the form, you know, through, in, you know, helping HR, working with jointly with HR on the whole internal communications, comms, working on the whole social media, right? You know, with the sales organization through events, through campaigns, and so on and so forth, right? We also go and interact with finance team, because budgeting and all of that, right? So I always felt that, and I strongly believed in it quite early in my career, is that as a marketer, a couple of things are imperative for me. One, I am not going to be calling out that brand building is my KPI because it is given. I have to do it come what may. Where I can bring more value is how do I take care of the growth agenda? How can I start thinking about the next, where the next growth for the organization is going to come from? Because the fact of the matter is the sales organization will always be inundated with closing the week, closing the month, closing the quarter, and always working on the, you know, finishing the this current month and look at the next month, right? Who's thinking about, apart from the CEO or maybe the director of sales or the, you know, chief business officer, who else is thinking about, okay, where the next lever of growth is going to come from, right? And I think that's where it all, you know, it starts shaping it personally for me. And that's why revenue marketing has become a very, very important piece. I mentioned about the whole IC, the internal comms and the whole social media. All of that really brings in, for example, if you really think about it, these two pieces really adds a lot on the whole brand building process, you know, a very integral part of brand building process, right? Wherein through internal comms, you create internal ambassadors who will go and talk to people about the culture, what it is all about the company and all that, if they really feel about it. Social media takes it to a different level wherein, you know, it just disseminates it differently. And then you make heroes out of all of it. And then, you know, it becomes people really start talking about it. And that's where the whole culture thing comes in. What, you know, all of this ultimately leads to what? It leads to responsibility of building the right culture and helping the culture which the organization needs to be known for. Now, how do you make sure that, you know, this culture, this whole feeling, which we call culture, gets every person start talking about it and more than talking about it, start feeling about it, right? And marketing really brings all of this through communication, through visuals, through different ways of, you know, internal and external campaigns, bring all of this to life. So for example, today, me and my CHRO, you know, for Edel Business, we work extremely closely, and we are partnered in crime when it comes to from an internal communication point of view, any new campaigns we run, you know, the whole sales enabling, for example, as part of my additional role, which is sales operations, I also take care of the sales enablement. There, me and my CHRO, we work extremely closely because, you know, it just because the functional learning is, for example, I have to take care of. But there, I need that partnership. And we just work like in tandem with, you know, when it comes to making things happen. One of the key jobs is to help build this culture and take it down to the last person. And people should feel it rather than just see it. People need to feel it, right? And the moment people start feeling it, they will start talking passionately about it. They will start going out and, I mean, then you don't have to be thinking about, you know, my brand is not building. I mean, just imagine 100 of your people going out and talking about, you know what, I'm having a great time. You know, I get full freedom to go and do things, and, you know, I have full ownership on what I'm doing. I mean, how many organizations give you that? Not many, right? But then how many people really feel it when they are in that particular organization? And that's why this is, you know, this is extremely important. This is personally very important for me, because at the end of the day, your growth is in your hand. That's one. And then the other piece is, if the organization grows, you will grow. At the end of the day, it is us as a CMO, also part of the leadership team. It is one of my key responsibility, which I have to drive, and not just drive, but own, really own. And that's what it's all about for me.
I think I now understand where you're coming from, because, you know, I can correlate to what you said at the start. So you said something very interesting when you're talking about Edel Business. You said we have three segments: enterprise, mid-market, SMB. We have 8 product lines.
Five segments. 24. Sorry to correct you. Five segments.
And then across these 15, you will have different personas to kind of potentially engage. Because there's a buyer persona, there's an influencer persona, there's a user persona. Maybe there are a couple of other personas. Because if you're in sales and marketing, then you also come across these very interesting personas called legal. And then there is procurement. And then there is finance. And all of these are stakeholders. You've got to navigate these complex sales cycles. You've got to get through them, right? So, yeah. So overall, if you think about, you've got 8 personas. And you've got 15, 3 into 5. So 3 into 5 is 15. Into 15 times 8 is 120. So now I'm trying to think, saying that 120 different audiences, how are KC and his team managing communication towards 120 different sets of audiences? Because you need that kind of messaging. You need that kind of, you know, engagement, customization. But that cannot get done unless and until you weave that fabric that aligns and binds everyone together so that they can come to the common goal. That common goal, now I understand why you said work backwards from what the customer problem is. But that can only happen if you have the right culture and you set it up beautifully in terms of all of these. So I think for our viewers, that's why, you know, I think Casey started with saying that walk back from the customer problem, not from what your solution is, to very carefully articulate what you are able to deliver to the customer in terms of value. 3, have precision in terms of clarity, in terms of what your culture is. And when all of that comes together, I think magic happens. Casey, anything you'd like to add, delete? Is that resonating?
Maybe? Yeah, no, I just want to add, you know, just one more point, and thank you for articulating it, you know, 200x better than I did. So thank you for that. And you know, that's one of the things which I am trying to learn from you, Adit. Since the time I've met, you know, we've met last, you know, I think 4 months back is when 3 months back we've met. And I think there is a lot to learn from you. So thank you for that. I just want to add one more thing. And I think somewhere I missed that is marketing score job.
Yeah.
You know, when I was talking about the brand building and all of that is something which is given, right? You cannot not do without it. As simple as that. The biggest where the rubber meets the road, literally, is the moment as a marketing team, as a marketer, when we start showing, when the business starts seeing value in what we're doing, not through events, not through whatever we keep on making for them and so on and so forth, but ultimately how we're impacting their order book value, how we are helping them building a larger funnel when they're entering the next quarter, right? And how we are contributing to the overall revenue in a sense. For example, if this year's target is X, which is like an overall, let's say 20-25% growth from the last year, which was the business needs to do this year, how much contribution marketing is going to bring in? Right. So for me today, you know, I have only one metric which I follow, and rest of it is then that it gets further divided into the team, is the contribution to a marketing contribution to the overall order book value. Right. And that is the journey we're on. That is the North Star metric. Right. We started somewhere at 8% in the first year to, we are hovering around 16 to 17 today. We want to be at 20%, and 20% means that, I mean, a big number, right? And by the way, this is net new, not a progression, not something which is already there in the pipeline. And no, because that's when we as a marketer, we start talking about this, the business will also, you know, start looking at you differently. And then that's when you'll have that chair on in that table, wherein people, when these strategies are being made, then you will be looked upon at as, you know, as somebody who will give the right input, because you are bringing that additional firepower to the overall, you know, business. And that's something which we cannot miss. And that's when the whole the culture, what we add, all of it really, you know, comes to life, really.
Yeah, wonderfully said, Casey. I think, again, this is correlating. Again, I'm learning so much from you. You talked about fearlessness as a value. And this is where I think you're saying that, hey, you want to sit at the table at the boardroom, be fearless, chin up, and say, I'm going to contribute X amount of revenue to the order books. And not just, I'm not going to take expansion targets. I'm not going to take retention targets. Sure, but I will take those targets, but I'll also be responsible for net new revenue.
Just one last point. And, you know, the whole new piece which we came out with as Airtel is like be limitless. And when it came out, when I got to know about it before it was getting launched, right, the whole employee-led initiative. And
yeah,
it just defined, you know, everything which, you know, what I was feeling, what I've been feeling, what I was doing, what I've been going through, so and so forth, right? Ultimately, fact of the matter is that we as humans, we are always limitless, right? The only, you know, the only person who limit us is ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And I think limitless, and the reason why I want to just bring it in, and no, it's not advertising about Airtel, guys. It is just about how that one word resonates to me and to a lot of mine, you know, my peers and a lot of my team members, is something which is, I mean, you know, amazing, because that's exactly what you're trying to be, right? And that's how you are. This evolution is all about be limitless, right? Otherwise, we would have not been having, so, you know, we have not evolved the way we are today. And Gen AI, right? I mean, Gen AI is so limitless.
No, there's this amazing quote that you remind me of, Casey. Again, it's this beautiful quote that I think is one of my all-time favorite quotes. And it's coming to me because you said limitless and how you define limitless, right? There is freedom waiting for you on the breezes of the sky. And you ask, what if I fall? But the response comes saying that, oh, but my darling, what if you fly? Right. And that can be so game changing. What if you fly?
That's why I said, you know, I'm learning. I'm learning from you, Mr. Bandokwala.
Thank you, Casey. Casey, we'll get into, because you spoke about AI, I want to bring back KPI to have like a quick conversation with you around Gen AI. So why don't we bring back KPI into the mix so that we can have AI interact with you a little bit. KPI, over to you. The stage is yours.
Thank you, Adil. Let's dive into the future of marketing with Gen AI. So, KC, Gen AI is often seen as a buzzword, but its potential is significant. What are some of the most promising and practical AI applications for B2B marketers that you foresee in the near future?
Thank you for that question, KP AI. I think Gen AI is a reality, and I think we need to accept it. And at the same time, we have to be very conscious about how we're going to use it and how we set some of the rules of engagement right now, right? Why I'm saying this? Because ultimately, and especially when it comes to marketing, right? Because I think marketing is one function which Gen AI has been disrupting. And I'm not saying this, you know, I'm not using the word disruption here in any negative connotation. It is all positive. How do we as marketers, we're going to leverage it? It is up to us, right? And that's why I said that we as marketing leaders, as well as marketing teams, we have to be very conscious of how setting the right rules of engagement, right? For example, Adil was talking about complexity and, you know, so many different messaging, such a complex portfolio, segments, so many segments, you know, complex portfolio, multiple personas, so many cohorts, and so on and so forth. I think some of these things, now we are leveraging Gen AI to help us in crafting better messaging, right? Now, again, when I said rules of engagement, and we have to be very conscious of using it, because if, let's say, forget about Airtel, right? But any organization, if we, you know, ultimately it's all about the content which is going out from your organization. It has to be legit. It has to, it cannot be getting into legal, you know, legalities saying that, you know, this is not your content, right? And which means a lot of lawsuits are going to follow you, right? The right upskilling of the team, setting up the rules of engagement, right? The right set of upskilling needs to happen. First, identify them, and then make sure that happens. And then how we are going to be using it. So, for example, we at Airtel Business Fortunately, we were on this journey for quite some time, especially when we started building our entire automation system, marketing automation system. I was, I've been a practitioner of, multiple very well-known marketing automation platforms. I don't want to name them, but they were really good in their own rights. But when I joined Airtel Business, I knew what I don't want. That's when we started with a startup called Bamboo Box, and that's when we started the whole journey of building our platform. And I was also, somewhere in my head, I was very clear that, this is something which I cannot do with just one product is not going to solve my problem. And that's when we went about sitting down, putting the right architecture and how, and in all of this, the most important piece is the way the kind of inciting which the system has to do for you, the kind of lead scoring, on what basis the lead scoring is going to happen. One lead scoring doesn't fit all. And I am just calling out very clearly that the same lead scoring methodology cannot fit every solution or product in your organization which you're selling. So how do you make sure that, you're depending on the solution and the kind of product you're selling, what the way the lead scoring has to happen, and also which is in conjunction with the whole account intelligence which you have, right? So I'm saying one was very clear that we want to build a system which is intelligent and something which is flexible and scalable over a period of time, and which will cater to the kind of complexity. I mean, 3 years back we were at a different level of complexity in terms, and I'm not saying as an organization, as a portfolio and the segments, just from the kind of different kind of customers and different portfolios we have, the way we engage, the way the kind of customers we are catering to, that complexity. This will continue growing because, more and more solutions will come in place because the customer problems, we'll get to know more about the customer problems, which will lead us to build some new solutions and so on and so, and then replicate it at volume. Now, all of this, I could not think of a system which is, humne aaj decide kiya, yaar agle ek saal chalega. We can't do that, right? So one, it has to have that flexibility and scalability in a way wherein, you should be able to scale up, scale down the way, depending on the scenario, right, you're in. Second is the whole messaging and the value proposition, the way you craft value propositions as a marketer, the portfolio marketing guys who are working on that. Now, for everything, it has to be slightly different. If it's a BFSI banking client, his customer engagement or his or her customer engagement requirement or problems are going to be different from let's say somebody, which is a D2C brand, right? Now, again, complexity comes in, right? What do you communicate and how can you keep on communicating different things to different people? So one is a system which is omni-channel, at the same time, a system which can help you build, bring out some of these anecdotal, messaging in a way wherein at the end of the day, it still has to be owned by my portfolio marketing person because the messaging they own, GenAI doesn't own it. They should know how to leverage and use GenAI to make those messaging much more sharper, much more attuned to the kind of customer we are, cohort or persona we are going to, the industry we are tackling, we are targeting. So I think that is the other use case. So one, in our marketing automation system, that's something is something which we have thought of building from the beginning. So that is that. Fortunately, it is part of that. And then how the entire thing is connected to our CRM, right? Which is use Salesforce here, right? So how all of that really, comes together. But again, CRM solves one problem, but something else, solves my other problem. How all of this will need to come together. Again, is it simple? No, it is not simple, but we can think about these things more simply than making it unnecessarily complex in our own head. Then how do we really bring in the whole GenAI thing using, ChatGPT, Gemini, earlier Bard, and, a couple of other, there are so many tools out there, right, which we use now for even video makings as well, right? I mean, I can give you an example. Recently, we just, with the help of GenAI, different multiple tools, we were able to, my team was able to build the entire Airtel business website on, you know, between 6 to 8 weeks time. And you're talking about more than 150 pages. And changing the entire thing from a very inside out perspective, very product focused, to the whole, you know, industry out, customer backed and solution orientation, right? Now, in that 6 week, what happened? I can tell you about myself. I know about, you know, Gen AI. Obviously, I don't know everything about Gen AI, and I will never be there because I don't want to be there. There has to be something which you're always learning. I think in those 6 weeks, I got upskilled. My entire team got upskilled because that was a interesting challenge which was thrown at us by our MD and CEO. And later on, I realized why exactly it was thrown at us. And I am super thankful to him. Because suddenly in 6 to 8 weeks, my entire team's thinking, the way they were looking at some of these new things which are happening in the outside world related to Gen AI, they start thinking differently. They are not, the first reaction earlier used to be, this will have a plagiarism, all of that will happen and all. But today, when there's something new coming, people are excited about it. Okay, let me just go and test it. Okay, then once I test it, okay, how can I use it in my, things which I'm doing? And from there, suddenly the whole mindset shift happened. So today it has become a way of life for us. So again, going back, marketing automation is something where it is extremely important. And that's something which is integrated. So the whole inciting at an account level, at an opportunity level, at an organization level, and at a lead level also is something which is helping us. Second is the whole messaging and, creating those messaging, very hyper-personalization. I mean, humanly, it is impossible. I don't know what people feel about it, but I feel it, humanly, we would never been able to do this, right? But with so much, and thanks to Gen AI again, that we're able to do it much better. Again, but what we did is we made sure that there's nothing which goes out just by taking it from there and copy pasting and going out, right? Which really happens nowadays a lot on LinkedIn, because suddenly you have pretty much everyone writing 3-4 paragraphs on every topic, or creating their own topic and writing about it, which is not really something which was happening earlier. So I think these are the 2-3 areas which are extremely important. There are a couple of other things which we are just testing. For example, the whole video led thing, right? That's something which Adil, you've shared me a couple of those names. The team is still trying to, leverage it and see that how will it work. I'm sure that there's something positive which is going to come out of it. The other thing is how we have integrated in our digital sales group, because we have got DSRs who really work on all the responses, and also they do 3 things. My DSG, which is digital sales group, each one of these DSRs, which is digital sales reps, they do 3 things. One, whatever response we get from different multiple campaigns, they work on it, they further validate those responses, convert them into validated leads, and then they pass it on to the on-ground sales organization, depending on which segment, sub-segment. The second thing which they do is they do a lot of account mining, a lot of intelligence gathering, and then reach out to the customers. We do 0 outbound today, 0. And one of the ways in which we started doing it better is by leveraging some of these new age tools which are out there, right? Which are backed up by backend pay. They have AI, ML, in the backend. And that's how these guys are, able to do that better job. And the third thing which we do is on some of the commoditized products, these guys generate a lead and then close it as well, right? The entire life cycle they are managing. So I'm saying today, how are they interacting with the customer? Let's say, for example, Mr. Adil Bandukwala is HackerRank. Suddenly they will go into their LinkedIn, his LinkedIn. I'll figure out as a digital sales rep what he's been talking about, so and so forth. Then I'm going to use you know, the tool which is integrated in our system now, put all some of these things and it's going to throw something at me. Now I'm going to make it further personalized because I cannot write Adil Bandukwala on let's say a ChatGPT or any other tool which my teams are using, right? But then I will still have to personalize it. And then there is, again, like I said, because we have set the rules of engagement, there is a real-time monitoring which is happening. How people, because everyone is learning. How do you also parallelly create a very solid, you know, learning capabilities within the teams so that, you know, people are, you know, some of these mistakes are not being made. And I think that's how we are leveraging GenAI now. Again, are we there? No. I mean, all of us are learning. But personally, if you ask me, I think my learning curve has gone up. I can talk. I mean, you know, today I'm really talking about GenAI. That in itself is something which I'm really proud of.
That's really insightful. I almost wish I had been hosting this podcast from the beginning.
Right. Thank you, KPI. We'll have you leave this particular segment now because I don't want you hijacking my podcast. The agreement between you and me is that you will host only one section. I'm still the podcast lead. So thank you for your services. We will continue to use you. We're almost at the end. Thanks so much. It's like super helpful. I think the audience would love to get to know you a little better too, Casey. So you spoke, you said that you were a state level cricketer. Let's talk about cricket a little bit so people get to know you. And would love to understand, were you a batsman? Were you a bowler? Were you a keeper? Were you an all-rounder when you used to play and when you still play? And then I have a couple of follow-up questions too.
So just one correction. I was a university level cricketer, but unfortunately IPL was not there. And like any other, you know, from that age, the whole focus used to be that, you know, you have to study. You can't, yes. You know, sports is just for fun, right? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, so I used to be an all-rounder. I used to open the bowling and I used to go first down. And I think I used to be a very good fielder as well, especially in the close positions. So yeah, and I just love playing sport. Once I stopped, once I started aging, which I am, last few years I've been playing squash a lot, which is again, right now I have to stop because some shoulder injury, like I said, as you start aging, which I am, some of those things I've started missing right now. But yeah, so that's what I did.
Okay, let's do a couple of rapid fires. So you said your favorite position is one down. So if you say it's one down, let's go through eras. The greatest, one of the greatest in one down, Rahul Dravid.
Yeah.
The one more current.
Kohli.
Virat Kohli.
Yes.
And now taking over Sky. Who would you choose? It's hard. Who would you choose?
Virat Kohli, any day. He has changed the... He and obviously, you know, goes without saying, you know, the other legend, right? And I'm a big Thala fan, right? So...
all of us are.
Yeah, all of us are, right? I mean, there's nobody who's not, actually, right? But I think Dhoni, there is this one guy who has changed the the way cricketers were being looked upon at as, right? For the longest time, nobody really talked about cricketers when it comes to the fitness level, the focus. I mean, look at the kind of focus which he brings in, right? The kind of, I mean, you know, the energy, the passion, the focus, it's, I mean, that's what you have to take it from that guy, man. It's absolutely phenomenal.
100%. So one more thing before we wrap up the segment. So you also said that you used to play at number 5 and number 6 and you're a strong finisher, right? So in terms of finishers, again, we've seen all-time greats. Back in the day, it used to be Ajay Jadeja and this little-known cricketer called Robin Singh. He used to be swashbuckling back in the day. And then it kind of came to Dhoni and Ravindra Jadeja. Right, and these two have done so well for themselves. And then now, if you think of there is Hardik Pandya in that role. There is potentially even Shivan Dubey who's being groomed. And then, of course, Ravindra Jadeja obviously continues to be there. So again, views on, do you think Indian cricket, we're getting more and more aggressive? Are we more baseball-like?
I think we are much more balanced. Look at what has been happening to England, right? I mean, you can't just go and play test cricket like, you know, hitting everything out of the park, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's where really the way Indian cricket has also evolved in last, you know, more than, you know, close to a decade now, right? You have horses for the courses.
Yes.
Right? Every horse cannot play in every course, right?
Yeah.
And that's why it is, you know, our test team is different. Our one-day team is slightly different and our T20 is slightly different.
Very different, yeah.
Right? And I think we, the Indians, you know, the Indian BCCI, actually, this is one good thing which they have been doing. I think we have been trying to hit a very good balance, which not many other countries' teams have, right? It's also, it's a game. So we need to be, you know, let's be sportsmen about, you know, let's have sportsmanship here. But reaching every final.
Yeah.
Reaching every goddamn semi-final. Reaching on the trot,
last final, you know, in game
test championship, right? Yeah. And reaching the every test championship. That in itself says a lot about the way Indian team, you know, cricket team has evolved. So it is very easy as fans, and because we are emotional, we are a very emotional country, and every fan is an emotional fan. But at the end of the day, but just look at the kind of success which we have had. It's because we have balanced it out. We have literally balanced it out. So like you know, like we just talked about, test championship, on the trot, 3, right? Fine, we didn't win. Every game we can't win. And then the other question is going to be, we actually have not been winning any finals. Yes, okay. I mean, shit happens. But yeah, so
this year, we're winning this year. We're in good form. The team's coming
together.
This one, we're going to get it in the bag.
I'm also quite, what do you call it, superstitious about it. You know, the year when India won the T20, the first T20 India won, right?
2007.
Yeah. Which team lost the first game?
Now, that I don't remember.
Big teams. The 2007, the first match of India was against our arch rivals. They lost it. Yesterday, they lost it against USA.
Yeah, with USA. So, and in a super over. It was crazy.
Yes. And they lost it in super over. So, yeah. I'm just, you know, being an ardent Indian, you know, Indian cricket fan, I feel that's a great, you know, that is, and I'm, you know, superstitious about it. And I know that we're going to win this World Cup.
This is our time. And with that, we are on time. KC, big thanks, KC, for sharing all those insightful perspectives with us today. I think if I were to summarize this, the knowledge you've shared is pure gold. Actually, wait, gold is a great analogy. No wonder you handle the revenue side of things so well, because gold. Right. But I'm sure our great Indian marketing community is going to devour every bit of wisdom you've dropped today. Hey, if anyone's got questions for KC, don't hesitate to follow him or reach out to him on LinkedIn. But we don't think we're done yet. There's more legendary content coming your way. Stay tuned for the next one. It's going to only get better from here. So with that, see you next time. And big thanks, KC.
Thank you so much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
The Great Indian Marketing Show, crafted with care by Sanskar Agarwal.